Okay, we're beginning here on the Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, two-thirds of the way down, seven lines from the bottom. The Gemara is going to continue two more of these series where we have a question about something that has a transitional phase, and then what is the status of the object in that transitional phase? We discussed, because of our Mishnah, topically the birds, that there is a transition both by the Bnei Yonah and the Torim between being youngsters and being mature. And the Mishnah notes that Tchilat Hatzihuv, the beginning of the yellow wing, is pasul by both of them, and that's an indication of that transitional phase. So that's the beginning of the transition by which already the Bnei Yonah are no longer valid, but they're not yet mature enough to be Torim. That's Mishiyaz Hivu, once they become golden, that's when they reach that point where they're fully mature. The question was, what's the status of the Torah and the Ben Yonah in that interim stage? And there are two ways to formulate it, and we're going to see that in the continuation here. One is to say that it's a safek. We don't know during that transitional phase whether they're a katan or a gadol, meaning that if they were a katan, the Bnei Yonah would still be kasher, the Torim would be not kasher, or if they were gadol, then the Bnei Yonah would be pasul, but the Torim would be kasher. Or do we say that it's a birya b'fnei atzma, which means that the transitional phase is a totally different entity? It's something that sits between the katan and the mature bird, but it's not either of those. It's neither katan nor gadol, but something that it's in that transitional phase, which doesn't have any status. Now, for us, by the birds, there it's going to have implications in the fact that it's pasul in that interim stage. If it's a safek, then maybe you could discharge your obligations, as we discussed. But if it's a birya, then it's clearly not able to be brought on the mizbeach because it's not qualified. We have a specific need to have bnei yonah, ketanim, and torim, gidolim. If it really is something that's a birya, it won't be kasher. Here we might find that there's slight nuances or differences in that, and that's by Rabbi Zero. Homer harei alai olat behema min ha'ayo u'min ha'keves. Someone who says that I'm going to bring an olah, and my olah is going to be either a keves, which is a sheep, or it's going to be an ayo, which is a ram, vevi palges. And instead, he brings a palges, mahu. What's the din? So now, a keves is a sheep in its first year of life. That we know from the psukim in the Torah, keves ben shana. Many times associated with keves, we see ben shana. And so that's the first year of life. It's classified as a keves. An ayo is in the second year of its life. I mean, a keves turns into an ayo as it ages, as it matures. It becomes an ayo, which is a ram. What the Gemara is discussing here is that there's also a transitional phase in the keves to ayo. And that is, after you've completed the first year, the keves is no longer a keves. The question is, when does it become an ayo? So here, the Gemara's assumption, we'll discuss a little more, Menchot Chinuch spends some time on this, but the Gemara's belief is that it only becomes an ayo, a ram, after 13 months. There is a transitional phase of the 13th month in which it goes from being a keves to an ayo. So at 13 months and one day, it's clearly an ayo. At 12 months, or up to 12 months, it is clearly a keves. The question is, in that interim stage, which here is called a palges, it's a Mishnah in Parah, where the Tanaim come up with different names for it. This is one of the three names that's used over there to describe this interim stage. Palges, it's the more famous because the Gemara took it up, and it comes from either the word paleg, which means that it's kind of half here, half there, or plagas, that it's almost mature. Something along those lines. It's a Greek word, and three words that are used in the Mishnah in Parah are also of a Greek nature. But something describing an interim phase, a submaturity, something along those lines. And that's what a palges is. It's sitting between a keves and an ayo. We want to know, what's the status? When you bring this, is it a keves or is it an ayo? Or maybe it's neither. According to Rabbi Yochanan, again, we saw the machloke between Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Pada as to what the status of a palges is. Rabbi Yochanan's of the belief, and that's what the Gemara is about to say, it's a birya b'fnei atzma. It's its own entity. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, loti b'ilach, there's no question. Damar birya havi. It is a new entity. That's transitional phase. It's not. Hikrivo mevi alav nischeayo. If he brings a palges as a korban, then you have to bring along with it the nisachim of an ayo. Ve'ein ola lo mizivcho. But it doesn't count towards the korbanot that you have to bring. Whether you have to bring a keves or whether you have to bring an ayo, it doesn't work. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan qualifying the Mishnah says, The sukim by the nisachim, when it tells you o the ayo, the o there, which means or, means almost like palges o ayo. And therefore, there's an extraneous word o, and that teaches you that the palges gets the same din of nisachim as an ayo. Now, just leaning on what we said in yesterday's daf, that when it comes to a pasuk telling you a din, a pasuk doesn't deal in sfeikot. Sukim don't address something that's a safek. They address realities. They address things that are firm. And so the fact that he has a pasuk to include a palges already shows you that he believes that it's not a safek, but rather it must be an entity unto its own. And that's what the Gemara is saying here. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. There's nothing to speak about because it is a virya bifnei atzma. If it's a virya bifnei atzma, then you're certainly not going to discharge your obligation. You said I'm going to bring an olah from a keves or an ayo. This is neither a keves nor an ayo. And therefore, sure, you did not discharge your obligation. Even though the nisachim are the same as that of an ayo, nevertheless, you are not yotze, you're neder, or discharging your obligation in this case. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan. But kiti bailach, I'll leave it to Bar Podo. But the question does arise for Bar Podo, who believes that it is damar maite umatne. That when we say over here, you bring the nisachim with it, it doesn't mean that you bring the nisachay ayo. Rather, you bring them, and you do it on a conditional basis. So, we'll explain in 1 second what this means. But if you look at the Bali Tosafot at the bottom of the previous Amud, he says, in Menachot, itotav bar podo mihaikra, the o la'ayo. Bar podo is challenged by that pasuk of o la'ayo, because the fact that the Torah brings a pasuk shows you it's not a safek. Rather, it's a birya bifnei atzma. So the fact that we have a pasuk there, the Gemara in Menachot leaves Bar Podo basically in a bind with a question. Many of the Rishonim as well as Achronim point out that the Gemara there does not say tiyufta. Tiyufta would be an unresolvable issue. Rather, where it leaves it more like a kasha. And that's what is noted in Rashi here as well, that for Bar Podo, the ola ayil dorish lan the drasha achrino, that obviously, Bar Podo has to come up with another drusha for Olayo. Otherwise, he's really in a bind because of the way Rabbi Yochanan views it, which is that it's a birya bifnei atzma, and that's why I have a separate pasuk for it. So the fact that Bar Podo disagrees, here Rashi makes it clear that he has to have another drusha for Olayo. And since he has another drusha for Olayo, then he can now go on to say that it is a safek. Now, the safek is mi amrinan. When is the safek here? Ayo bekeves, matne, bebirya lo matne. When he says it's a safek, is it a binary safek? Which means that, is it either an ayo or a keves? It's one or the other, we just don't know which one it is. Odilma, bebirya nami matne. Or maybe there's a third option, which is that it could be an ayo, could be a keves, or it could be neither of those, but rather a transitional phase, like Rabbi Yochanan. Damar, ibirya have, if it is a birya, then you just make the condition that it is a kula nedava. Teku. The Gemara leaves it as unresolved. Let's deal with how Bar Podo sets it up. Bar Podo is trying to address the issue of the nisachim. Which nesach do you bring? You have a number of options over here. How do I manage through the options, given the fact that I don't know what the status of the animal is? So Bar Podo, first of all, thinks it's a safek. And thinking it's a safek, there's a possibility that Rabbi Zeira's question as to whether you discharge your obligation or not is a relevant question. If you said, I'm going to bring an ayo or a keves, and then you make a palges. If Bar Podo's safek is just whether it's an ayo or a keves, then either way, you've been yotze the neder, because either you brought an ayo or you brought a keves. If there's a third option in Bar Podo's safek, then there's a possibility that you did discharge your obligation if it's an ayo or a keves, but there's also a possibility you didn't discharge your obligation because it is a birya bifnei atzma. And therefore, that's the teku that the Gemara leaves, according to Bar Podo, which is, it's not clear that if you bring a palges, whether you discharge your obligation when you ask for an ayil or a keves. The other thing that comes out of this clearly, and that the Minchot Chinuch also mentions, is the fact that a palges is a kasher korban, different than the birds. By the birds, we said that Tchilat Zihuv makes it that Mimonov Shoch, one of them is pasul, and maybe even both of them are pasul. We didn't know which way it went, if it was a birya or a safek. But at least one of them was pasul over there. Here, both an ayil and a keves are kosher korbanot. So if your safek is one of the two, that's fine, and you can bring it. Even if it is a palges is not a disqualified korban. as long as you don't have the obligation to bring a keves or an ayil, for instance, if you're bringing shlamim, where there are no gender restrictions, there's no species restrictions, then a pasgeis would be justifying korban. So that's also something to keep in mind. It's slightly different than the case before. Here, the pasgeis, you can bring no matter what. So then, once you've now brought it, what's the din of the nisachim that are associated with it? So Barapada says, matne. So let's just start with the wine libations, because that's what Rashi addresses, and then we'll move on to the next thing. The wine libations for a keves would be a revi'ita hin, which is 3 log. The wine libations for an ayil are a shlishita hin, which is 4 log. You have to bring one or the other. You need 3 log for a keves. You need 4 log for an ayil. If it's a birya bifne atzma, there's a possibility that it doesn't need a nesech at all. Meaning for Rabbi Yochanan, he says, oh, the ayil makes it that it has a nesech of an ayil. But if you really believe it's a birya bifne atzma and the psukim don't address it, it's a possibility that it doesn't need a nesech whatsoever. So now you have 3 possibilities. You have 0, that you don't have to bring any yayin. Another possibility, you have to bring 3 log. And another possibility, you have to bring 4 log. What Rashi says you do is you bring 4 log. And you bring it on condition. You say, I'm bringing 4 log of yayin. If this is an ayil, then these are the 4 log that are associated with the ayil. If this is a keves, 3 of these log go towards the keves. The additional log is a nidava. Now, Rashi points out, if you remember this from Menachot, that the Minchat Nisachim and the Nisachim can only come in ratios that match up to a keves, ayil, and a par. 1 is not a number that we find that has any paradigm of that in the Nisachim. So you cannot bring a nesech that is 1 log in the Mikdash. The minimum you need to bring is 3. Rashi says that's only true when you bring it independently. When you bring it as part of a larger grouping, a larger measure of wine, then it is okay. So over here, even though you're bringing 1 log as a nidava, it's as part of 3 other log that are a chova, and that's okay. The last possibility is that it is a birya bifnei atzma, which requires no nisachim, and then you just say the whole 4 are a nidava. Farapada doesn't have all the ayil, and if he holds up all the ayil, he can't hold that it's a safek. If you say all the ayil is the source for nisachim for a pagais, by definition, you have to believe it's a birya bifnei atzma, because the Torah is addressing it. The Torah is addressing it, it can't be addressing a safek. It has to be addressing a reality. And that reality is that it means it's a transitional, it's a birya bifnei atzma. According to Bar Podo, if it is a safek, by definition, Ola Ayo can't be speaking about a pagais, because the Torah doesn't deal with sfekot. And therefore, he has a possibility that it's a safek just between an ayo and a keves. There is another possibility that it's an ayo keves or a pagais, but in either way, he thinks that Ola Ayo is not addressing the pagais, because otherwise, he wouldn't have any safek. He would only be able to say that it is a pagais, like Rabbi Yochanan. So he has nothing that is associated with the pagais, and that's a possibility that there's just no nesachim that are associated with the pagais. So that's as far as the yayin is concerned, and that's the way Rashi explains how this works over here. That works well for the yayin. The Baal Yad Tosafot already raised an issue, which is, what do you do with the menachot? The menachot are much harder, because had they been the same ratio, then it would have worked. Like for an ayil and a par, the ratio between the oil and the flour are similar, so then you could bring a bigger one and say partial nidava, partial chova. On the other hand, when you have a keves versus an ayil, that doesn't work, because the keves has an isaron solet, but it has shlosha lugim of shemen. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. An ayil has 2 isaron, but it has 4 log shemen, which is a 2-to-1 ratio. So you have a problem now. How are you going to do this? The Baal Tosafot say that you actually have to bring 2 minachot nisachim over here. You can't bring 1 big one and subsume within it the smaller one, but you have to actually be matne between 2 separate minachot and say 1 mincha will be the chova for the korban that I brought. The other mincha will be a nidava. We don't know which is which, but then Tosafot says, doesn't that raise an issue? Because a minchat nisachim goes kalil al mizbeach, goes entirely mizbeach, there's no komets, whereas a minchat nidava has a komets taken off of it, and then the komets is put on the mizbeach, and it doesn't necessarily go kalil al mizbeach. So how do you deal with the minchat chova versus nidava over here? In the end, the Tosafot brings from the Riva that he thinks that if you donate a minchat nisachim, then it goes kalil al mizbeach. Meaning that you can have a nesech that's in nedava. And if you have a nesech that's in nedava, it parallels what a normal nesech would look like. And therefore, a nedava of a nesech does not require kmitza and goes kalil al mizbeach. And that way you could solve the problem. But Tosafot makes it clear that you actually have to bring 2 nesachim over here in order to discharge the obligation. And then again, it would be either or. 1 of the 2 is a chuvah, the other one's a nedava. Or if it's neither, then both of them are netava, because then the palges doesn't have nisachim that are associated with it. That's in terms of the just technicalities of the palges. Over here, the Rambam in his psak brings something very interesting, which is very hard to reconcile, because the Rambam in describing the palges says, komakom, shnemer betova keves or kivsa kufasim harielu b'nei shana. That's the first year. Mikomakom, shnemer ayu o elim, hemas charim b'nei shnataim. Those are 2 years old. When does it transition to be called an ayo? When it reaches 13 months and 1 day, that's when it becomes an ayo. On the 30th day, it's not good as a keves, not as an ayo. That's called a palges. It's very interesting. From the Rambam's Lashon, it sounds like just the 30th day is a palges. And I did see some Mefarshei HaRambam that do say such a thing. But I think the Rambam means is in contrast to 13 months and 1 day, that 13 months is called a palges. And it means any time from 12 months and 1 day to 13 months is classified as a palges. The Rambam over here deals with something that we'll get to later on in Kodashim, which is that there are hours for Kodashim. That means that even an hour after it is a full 12 months, it's no longer a keves. We go by the hour of when it was born. It's 8 la'eit that we determine the year of a keves. That's the Rambam in Hilchot Maaseh Korbanot, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yudalet. Then when you go to the Rambam in Maaseh Korbanot, Perek Bet, Halacha Vav, here's the end of the Halacha. Amakrivet ha-palges, someone who brings a palges, mevi imo nischei ayo, velo ule lo lezivcho. It doesn't count towards his zevach. Now, the Rambam over here clearly is passing like Rabbi Yochanan. He's calling the palges, not an ayo, not a keves. He's saying that it's a birya bifnei atzma. And he brings a nesech of an ayo. So that's the old ayo of Rabbi Yochanan, that you bring the nesechim of an ayo. So that's the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Perek Bet. Problem is that the Rambam in Hilchot Maaseh Korbanot, Perek Tet Zayin, Halacha Bet, says the following. Nadar ola min hakvasim u min ha'elim. This is our Gemara. He took a neder to bring either a keves or an ayo. He brought a palges instead. Wait a minute. In Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, he clearly paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Palges is a birya b'fnei atzma, and you bring the kvasim of an ayo, which is ola ayo. That's the din of Rabbi Yochanan. All of a sudden over here, he says it's a safek. What safek is there? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no safek. You didn't discharge your obligation. It's a given. V'chein anoder ola ta'of min ha'torim o min ha'bnei yunah ve'evit klat zihub shebezer shebezer zeh safek. So he parallels the case of the birds with the case here of the palges and says both of them are sfekot. That's possibly like bar poto. And so the kesef mishnah already raises some of the issue, and then the lechem mishnah raises it even more. He says that he saw some answers to it, but he says that none of them are really strong, but it seems to be that there's a stira within the Rambam here in his psak. In the first two prokim of Maaseh Korbanot, he clearly is paskening like Rabbi Yochanan. And in the latter case, by the neder, he seems to be paskening like Bar Poda, at least opening up that safek. It's a very difficult way to explain it, but you could argue that it is based on the second safek in Bar Poda, which is, it's either a keves, an ayo, or a birya bifnei atzma. And therefore, to discharge all your obligations, that's what you have to do. The problem with explaining it that way is in the Rambam, should have said with the nisachim that he has to do it al tnai. All he says is you bring nischei ayil. He doesn't say that you bring it with a tnai at all, and therefore that makes even the explanation that I'm giving very difficult, and that's why many Rishonim Achronim who look at this Rambam have trouble trying to reconcile what the Rambam says. All right, now, the Minchat Chinuch, as we noted before, makes it clear that a palges is a kosher korban. He speaks about it twice, once in the mitzvah Kufem Aleph, the Din of Shlamim, and once again in the mitzvah of Resh Tzaditet, by the Korbanei Musaf of Yimei HaPesach. And in that case, he opens up the problem to a much bigger issue, which is there's also a machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar as to when animals transition from 1 year to the next. Rabbi Meir is of the belief that Yom Echad B'Shana is a Shana. As soon as you move 1 day into the next year, then that already is the transition. You're already 2 years old. So for Rabbi Meir, there's really no such thing as a palges. It doesn't really exist because a keves is all the way till 12 months. 12 months and 1 day is already an ayo. So there's no interim period where it's not an ayo or not a keves. So the suffix doesn't exist according to Rabbi Meir. According to Rabbi Elazar, you need to have 30 days into the new year. Chodesh, or 30 days of a year, is classified as a year. So therefore, up to 12 months, it's a keves. At 13 months and 1 day, it's an ayo. The 30 days are the safek. But what the Minchat Chinuch points out is that he thinks our Gemara is not so clear, and nobody's being very clear here, because according to Rabbi Lazar, there really isn't as big a safek as the Gemara is pointing out over here. Rabbi Lazar says that that 30 days is a transitional state. That transitional state at 30 days is when it transitions to an ayah for those 30 days. Was it birya b'fnei atzma? What it certainly is not is a keves. A keves expires at 12 months, period. It can't be that 12 months and then the 13th month is a keves, because he clearly believes that after 12 months, and the Rambam himself says that 1 hour past the 12 months, it's no longer a keves. He says, I don't really understand the safek over here. He says there's really only two safekot here. It's either a birya b'fnei atzma or an ayah. It's certainly not a keves. And so he says that the Gemara here, it's not clear why they're saying that it's a keves or an ayil. That really can't be your safek if you think that the halacha is like Rebbe Meir. It's certainly not a keves. And according to Rebbe Lazar, you think you can argue that it stays a keves all the way through? He says that doesn't seem to be the case. He just has a question as to when it becomes an ayil. And so therefore he writes here, Kevan dekol zeakai alibid de Rebbe Lazar, de shloshim yom b'shana chashuv shana, v'imkein kodom leze lo havi ayil. Then before that point, it's not an ayil. Kevin zitzarich shnei shanim, because it needs 2 years. Imkein masfeka de barpada. Then what is the safek of barpada? Ach bemet afilo the Rabbi Lazar, and he delo mikre kodem shloshin yom ayil mikomakom bekeves vaday inu nikra. Certainly can't be a keves. Ki tekev shavrash nato pasul afilo shayitera al korchav tzarich lomar the safeku iavi ayil ke Rabbi Meir. This is barpada safek. Is it an ayil like Rabbi Meir? Oke Rabbi Elazar, v'lo havi ayil, v'gam keves lo havi. It's not an ayil, it's not a keves. Ela, birya b'fnei atzmo. So he says then, the safek that you have is it Rabbi Meir or is it Rabbi Elazar? For Rabbi Meir would be an ayil, for Rabbi Elazar would be a birya. Imkein tamua ma'od hashas dechulin. Our Gemara here is very strange, because the kamar sham d'ibay aliba d'barpada ayil v'keves matne b'birya lo matne. O d'matne ayil v'keves u'birya. How do you ever have that? B'met, heif yachol lamar, d'bichlal kevesu. How can you ever have a case where it's a keves? Kerem d'echti b'torah, ben shana, tekev ha-shana pasul mishum keves, b'vadai. El efshar d'yom chashuv, v'nikra tekev ayil, olo. That's the only safek you have. Im kem havi la birya. Aval keves v'adai lo havi. He says, I don't know where they got the option that it's a keves here. And he says, the Gemara is very clear. They think that there is an option of keves. And that's how they structure the whole Gemara. And he says, I don't understand it. Vayin sham b'turi evin, shitarir b'zev, v'katav shut mi'a gidola. And he leaves our Gemara as a safek. He says that you really only have two options. It's either an ayil or a birya. The keves is not a real option over here, because according to Rabbi Meir, it's certainly not a keves. And even going to Rabbi Elazar, it's clear to him that once you cross over the threshold of 12 months, it's certainly not a keves anymore. It may not be an ayil, but it's certainly not a keves. And so now he says the safek is between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir. Is it an ayil, like Rabbi Meir, or is it a birya, like Rabbi Elazar? Now, obviously, there are going to be those that disagree with the assumption of the Minchat Chinuch, but that's still difficult to say that the keves extends for that 13th month. But we've seen, and then we saw the Pesach of the Rambam, and the Gemara seems to indicate once you clear a year, it's not a keves anymore. And so he points out that the safek of the Gemara here is extremely difficult. Then he goes on to speak about it more in depth, that the Yerushalmi does entertain this possibility of it being a keves during that month. But he says it's clear that the Bavli doesn't think like the Yerushalmi, and therefore the Yerushalmi is not a solution to the problem that we have here. And he leaves it really as a tzarachion as to how to deal with this issue in the Gemara. And he does note that even though he says that keves is not one of the sfekot here, even if you pledge a neder to bring a keves, a pages will still be a sfek of your discharging the obligation. And that's because of the Gemara that we learned in Menachot, that if someone pledges something smaller and brings a bigger korban, you're yotze. So over here, since he pledged a keves, if the pages is an ayo, he'll actually be yotze his neder. So there's a sfek between being a birya and being an ayo. And that still leaves you as a safek, even when you take a neder to bring a keves, even though a keves isn't one of the options, that really is being entertained over here. Alright. Bai Rabbi Zera. Omer harei alai lachmei toda. Person says that I want to bring lachmei toda, mina chametz, o mina matzah. I'm going to bring one of the two. I'm going to either bring chametz or matzah, bevi se'ur mahu. And instead of bringing a chametz or matzah, he brings se'ur. Se'ur is something that sits between chametz gamur and matzah, which is not chametz at all. You have a transitional phase again. You have matzah, which is clearly not problematic, can be eaten on Pesach. You have chametz gamur, which is chayav karet on Pesach. There's something that was a transition between the matzah to the chametz. And remember, in their day, the sourdoughs that they're creating that finally become chametz in the end, there is a period of time it takes for it to ferment, to move from being matzah to being full-fledged chametz. That interim stage is what we're speaking about here, is the seur. And that is based on a machloket, which are about to enter here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda and the Gemara and Pesachim. In the Gemara and Pesachim, they argue about two things. The Gemara there says, at one point, seur is not problematic. There's another point where seur is considered to be chametz gamur. So what Rabbi Meir says is that the interim stage is when it's hichsifu paneha. When it starts to turn pale or white, that is already seur, and that is no longer good for matzah. Then, if it's siduk, if it starts to crack, that already is chametz gamur. So according to Rabbi Meir, the chametz that's already cracked, that's chametz gamur, and you would be chayav karet for that. On the other hand, the chifsichu paneha, for him, is classified as chametz, but it's what's called chametz nuksha. It's a chametz nuksha, which is a form of chametz, which he has a lav for, and therefore you're going to be chayav makot if you eat this chametz nuksha. For Rabbi Meir, you have matzah, then you have chifsichu paneha, which is this chametz nuksha, where you're going to be chayav makot if you eat it, because there's a kol, a riboy by Pesach, and you'll get malkot for it. If it goes all the way to siduk, then you're already going to be chayav karet, because that's chametz gamur, and there you're going to get a full-fledged karet, because that's real chametz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that chiksipu paneah is still matzah. That's not anything. Chiksipu paneah is still in the world of matzah. Siduk, which he calls karnei chagavim, when it starts to have cracking like the antennae of locusts, then that is already in this transitional phase where it's problematic. But unlike Rabbi Meir, he does not have a riboy that makes you chayav. He says over there, you have to be soreifit, you have to burn it, but it's not chayav. If someone eats it, they're not chayav even malkot for it, they're chayav nothing. If it cracks, it hardens and cracks completely, that's chametz gamur that you're chayav karet for. That's the background to what we're discussing over here, because that's what the Gemara is about to say. Seur deman. Whose seur are we speaking about? Is seur the Rabbi Meir? If you're speaking about the seur of Rabbi Meir, le Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, matzah maliotahi. Seur, according to Rabbi Meir, which is chisipu paneah, Rabbi Yehuda thinks that that's complete matzah. So then you wouldn't have a question over here as to whether it's matzah or chametz. It's matzah. E the Rabbi Yehuda, le Rabbi Meir. If Rabbi Yehuda's seur, which is the cracking, kikarnei chagavim, then the Rabbi Meir, it's chametzu. It's chametz gamur, according to Rabbi Meir. So then there's no question. There's no safek here. If the Rabbi Meir, li Rabbi Meir, for Rabbi Meir himself, seur, midaloki ale. According to him, if you chisipu paneah, even though it's not chametz gamur, you still get malkot for it. Chametzu. Therefore, it's chametz, and we won't have any question about what the status of this item is. Now, you could argue that since it doesn't get karet, only gets malkot, maybe it's not real chametz. But we have a pasuk that is a riboy that tells you that it's a different form of chametz, and you're chayav for it. You're chayav alav, not karet, but you are chayav for it, and therefore the Gemara deems it as chametz gamur. Bali and Tosafot already raised an issue, which is, by Pesach, you have a specific riboy that tells you that this type of chametz is problematic in Pesach. Where do you have that by the Lachmei Todah that indicates the same thing? Maybe this is unique din in Pesach. So the Bali and Tosafot say something over here, which they repeat numerous times in today's daf. There must be some yitur. We don't know where it is. There must be some riboy. That this hardened chametz, or this inedible chametz, is classified as chametz even by these entities. And Tosafot will say this for a number of items in today's daf, which is, there must be some limud. There must be some riboy. We used to see that a lot in the Tosafot and Zvachim. When he couldn't figure something out, he would say they must have some riboy, they must have some pasuk that we're not aware of. So he says a similar thing here. Because it's considered chametz by Pesach, and the Gemara here assumes that it's chametz gamur for Todah and for Menachot, shows you that there must be some sort of riboy that also has the same definition as that which is by Pesach. So that's how he deals with that issue. Ella, so the situation is the Rabbi Yehuda, my. What's the status of Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda, when you reach the cracking, karnei chagavim, says that it's no longer matzah, but it's also not chametz enough to make you chayav. You're not chayav makot, you're not chayav karet, you have to burn it, you have to get rid of it, so there's something wrong with it, but it's not chametz gamur. So now, what's the status? It's no longer matzah, but it's not chametz. So what is that status? If you bring something of that sort as discharging your obligation for what you promised to bring over here, which is either the chametz or the matzah of the korban todah, have you discharged your obligation? So again, you have the same question. Speka havia. It is a safek. It's either matzah or chametz. We just don't know what it is. V'nofik mimanofshach. And then your yotze, your neder, whichever way, because either you brought chametz or you brought matzah, and that's what you have to do when you discharge your obligation. Odilma biryahu velo nafik. Or maybe it's an interim stage, it's a transitional stage, and therefore you're not yotze here at all, because you have something that's neither chametz nor matzah. I mean, it's nothing, and therefore you didn't discharge your obligation. Now, the Gemara is going to backpedal here and try to understand how this neder was made. The original way that it was structured, it said, the way that Rashi explains it is that he promised to bring yud chalot, mezim min sheretzeh. I'm going to bring 10 loaves from whichever one. Either I'm going to bring 10 loaves of chametz, or I'm going to bring 10 loaves of matzah. And that's the nature of the korban that he's offering to bring. Now the Gemara is going to go into, how exactly did he do that? How did he get himself into a situation where he can be chayav, either chametz or matzah, and only 10 of those from the korban todah? Because it's hard to do that, and we'll see in a second why that is. There are alternate girsa'ot over here, because it's a little difficult for why he picked Rashi 10 chalot, and how you get that it's chametz or matzah. The alternate girsa, which would help with this, is that the girsa says he promised to bring 10 esronim of chametz or matzah. And that is because the korban todah is comprised of 20 isaron. 10 isaron go to the chametz, 10 isaron go to the 30 chalot of matzah. And that might be the nature of the question over here, which is, he promised to bring 10 isaron of either chametz or matzah, and that would make more sense, because that's more parallel to what we see normally by the korban todah, just to know that that's an alternate girsa, which helps out with some of the issues of how Rashi came up with the yud chalot, and why is there a division between 10 chalot and 10 matzah. There are no 10 matzah by the korban todah, there's 30 matzot that come by the korban todah. So if you switch it to Esronim, it helps out a little bit. What you're asking is exactly the problem now that Gemara is faced with. How does he get into this bind in the first place? V'amar Rav Huna, ha'omer alei alai lachmei todah, mevi todah v'lachma. Anybody who makes a promise to bring the lachamim of a todah, then not only is he obligated himself in the lachmei todah, he knows you can't bring the lachmei todah without a todah. That means that he's obligated himself in a todah v'lachma, and all the lachamim of the todah. And now, since you're obligated to bring a todah and all the 40 lechamim that come with it, over here, he doesn't have a choice. He can't bring this. This is not going to help him either way, because he has no idea whether it's chametz or matzah. Meaning that if he just had a promise to bring something that was either chametz or matzah, that's fine. You can ask about discharging his obligation. Over here, we have to bring both chametz and matzah. So you tell me he brought this item that was like the se'ur of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we don't know if it's chametz, we don't know if it's matzah. How does that help him? In the end, he has to bring 10 chalot of chametz, 30 chalot of matzah. You don't know what it is. If you don't know what it is, then he still's got to bring the others to make sure that he's discharging his obligation. So it did absolutely nothing for him. It doesn't help him in any way. Lo, tzricha. It's a case where he said, harei alai chala liftor todato shel poni. He gets involved with somebody else's korban. Someone else had promised to bring a todah, and the todah comes with 40 chalot. And he says, I'm obligated to discharge a portion of the chalot that he needs to bring. So I'm going to take upon myself to provide 10 of the chalot, whether it's chametz or matzah, of what he's bringing. Sof, haula yada, hai gavra, I chametz, hu deleti matzah, for he has to bring the remainder from matzah, I matzah, or if it's matzah, deleti chametz. You're in the same bind again, which is, you've just shifted the problem to someone else. If this guy brings this thing that is Se'ur of Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, here, you go, I'm going to take care of your chametz or matzah. So you're right, as far as your neder is concerned, you did something, but you haven't solved any problem. We don't have an answer to the question, because this guy who's bringing his korban todah in the end has to bring either matzah or chametz. And he has to bring both in the end, and he doesn't know which one yours is. If he doesn't know which one yours is, he's going to have to bring the chametz and the matzah anyway. So you're not discharging anybody's obligation in the long run. Where it says, lo tzricha, to lo amar liftor. He didn't say to liftor. He said that actually, and this is what Rashi claims over here, he had this unusual inspiration, and that he thought that harei alai yud chalot le todato shel ploni. I'm going to add on an extra 10 to someone's todah. The kevin damar le todato shel ploni lo yechayv le betodav lachma elo be'eser. Since he didn't pledge himself to bring the lachamim, he attached it to someone else's todah, therefore he doesn't obligate himself in a todah, but he attaches onto theirs. And it's clear that he does not do this because this guy thought that he could bring these additional kalot. In the end, it's not true. You can't bring additional kalot for someone else, but he thought he could. And so now, when he does that, has he discharged his obligation? And this is what Rashi says. We know for sure that the party that's bringing the Todah cannot discharge his obligation with what this individual is bringing. And he's not saying I'm going to discharge the other person's obligation. He just says I'm going to add them on. He thinks he could just add it on to his stuff. It happens not to be true. Now the Gemara says, in that situation, Mipa Gabra Yudeni Dro Nafik, were you Yotze your neder? Alonafik, are you not Yotze your neder when you bring the Seur of the Rav Yehuda? Teku, the Gemara leaves it as unresolved. Rashi said over here he thought you could bring it, which means you can't bring it in the end. So what exactly did he do to discharge his obligation? So Rashi claims over here, Meka Gabra Yudeni Dro Nafik, Viifdu. They'll be redeemed. Viiplud Mehem Lenedava Litoda Acheret. So then you will redeem them. And redeeming them, then you will use those monies towards bringing another Todah. Alonafik, or you're not Yotze. So Rashi claims over here that you're Yotze by redeeming them. If you bring them and then redeem them, then is that enough to discharge your obligation? Did you do what you said you were going to do? Now the problem is, you can only redeem something if it is Kedushat Damim. If it's Kedushat Damim, that means that the Todah was not shechted yet. The Todah is not shechted yet, then how were they associated with this particular Todah? So that's a question that's asked. The Rosh, in the end, seems to indicate that that's exactly the explanation over here, that your obligation here only extends to bring it to the point of Kedushat Damim, and once you reach that point of Kedushat Damim, you've discharged your obligation. So if you can get it to that point and redeem it, then you've done what you said you were going to do, as long as you either brought Chametz or Matzah. You brought something that's neither of those, then you haven't discharged your obligation. That's the way Rashi explains it, and that's similarly the way the Rosh explains within Rashi's Pshat the same thing. There are others who say you have to reach Kedushat Haguf. But once you reach Kedushat Haguf, there is no Pidyon. So how do you deal with this? So they suggest that it happens after the Shechting of the Todah. That's how you discharge your obligation. But it's similar to the Machloket Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan that we saw back in Menachot, which is what happens if a person brings a Todah with 80 Chalot. Instead of bringing 40, he brings 80. Does the Korban Mikadesh all 80 of them? Only 40 out of the 80. The Gemara discussed that difference, and so some of the Rishonim suggest that this question is according to Chizkiya, where you can be Mekadesh more than the actual 40 Chalot that are associated with the Todah, but these will be Nitkadesh along with those 40, like the same way that you have with the 80 Chalot that are brought according to Chizkiya. That's another way to deal with it, and then the question is, did it work? Was this Chametz or Matzah that it got added on, and it's part of the quote-unquote 40 plus, or is it something else, and therefore it doesn't qualify as the 40 plus, and it wasn't Nitkadesh, Ayde the Shkita of the Todah. That's the other view within the Rishonim as to how to manage or to deal with this situation. It's interesting here that the Gemara only addresses these issues. There are other times in Shas where we find similar types of Sfeikot. One of them I already mentioned yesterday, which is Ben HaShmashot. Is Ben HaShmashot Yom, Laila, or is it a transitional phase that's a Birya Bifnatzma? There it's a little easier to explain that it's not brought here because the Gemara itself never calls it a Birya Bifnatzma. That's Lashon of the Ritva in Yoma that says that it's a Birya Bifnei Atzma. But we do have other examples of that in the Mishnayot, like an Androgynous. There the Mishnah says that Androgynous, is it a Zachar? Is it an Ekeva? Or is it a Birya Bifnei Atzma? So that's another example of such a situation. And we also have by a Koi, which we're going to get to later in the Masechta, I think Daf Pei, later in the Masechta, is also a Koi. Where there the Gemara entertains the possibility that it's a Beima, it's a Chaya, or it's a Birya Bifnei Atzma. It's interesting that the Gemara doesn't bring those additional cases over here, even though it discussed three different cases, that of Palges, that of the Torim, and that of the Seor. So you already dealt with three, you would think that maybe they would have brought the others here. So it's interesting that they don't combine it all into a single sugya. Next Mishnah says, another structure that's similar to what we saw with the birds before, which is Kasher Bepara, Pasul Be'egla. Kasher Be'egla, Pasul Bepara. That which is good for the para aduma, which is shkita, is pasul by the egla arufa that requires arifa. So now, if you do arifa to the para, it doesn't work. Or if you do shkita from the para, if you do that to the egla, that doesn't work. So neither of those work. So now Gemara says, Tarabanan, para bishkita kshera, barifa psula. So you have a braita here which explicates on what the Mishnah was saying. And it's saying that a para requires shkita, and therefore it's kshera. If you do arifa to it, it's psula. Egla barifa, the egla requires arifa, which is cutting or chopping from the back of the neck. So that's ksheira, b'shchita, if you do shchita to it, it is psula, nimtzeit. And then that's what our Mishnah says. Kasher bepara, pasul begla, kasher begla, pasul bepara. Conclusion of the Braita is what our Mishnah says, and that's based on the statements that come before. Now the Gemara challenges that. V'tehei para ksheira ba'arifa mikal v'chomer. Why don't you say that a para can also use arifa from a kal v'chomer? Uma egla shlo hukshira b'shchita, an egla which doesn't have shchita, hukshira b'arifa, yet it still has arifa that works, para shukshira b'shchita, enu din shukshira b'arifa, a para that has shchita, then certainly it should be allowed to use arifa. Amar Kra, the pasuk says, v'shachat v'chuka. By the para, it says you have to do shchita, and it says zot chukata Torah by the para duma. Chuka is a me'akev, and that tells you that the shchita is me'akev. Therefore, b'shchita in, b'arifa lo. It means that the shchita works, arifa does not work. Mar says, v'chol heicha dichtiv be'chuka lo darshinin kal v'chomer. Is that true that as soon as you have the word chuka that says it's a akev, you can't add any din through a kal v'chomer? That means whatever's written in the parsha is locked in, you can't add any dinim. By Yom HaKippurim, that it's dichtiv e'chuka, at the end of the parsha of Yom HaKippurim in Parsha Rechmot, it uses the term chuka, and therefore it's la'akev, v'tanya. And it says with regards to the shnei seirim that are brought on Yom HaKippurim, seir la'shem and the seir la'azazel, va'asau chatat, that you make it into a chatat. Ha'goral oseh chatat, v'enashem oseh chatat. The only way to designate which one is the seir la'azazel and the seir la'shem is through a lottery. That's the only mechanism for determining. Shiachol, halo dinhu. This goes back to the Tosafot we saw yesterday. It says shiachol and halo dinhu. Those can't be mixed and matched. Gemara is really saying shiachol, which means had you not had the pasuk, this is what I would have thought. Uma b'makom shelo kidesh hagoral kidesh Hashem. In a place where the goral doesn't work, yet calling it the actual name, saying this is an olah, this is a chatat, works. Makom shekidesh hagoral, eno din shekidesh Hashem. Then in the case where you have another mechanism by the Seirim of Yom HaKippurim that the Goral works, then certainly Kiddush Hashem should also work. Now the paradigm of Kiddush Hashem that Rashi brings over here is that of Kinim, is that of birds that are brought in the Mikdash, like a Kain, of a Zav, a Yoledet, where you have to bring a Chatat and an Olah. Over there, you can designate which one's an Olah and which one is a Chatat. And once you've designated them, they can't be switched around. There are two points of designation. There's one at the time of the kiddush of the item, and there's another designation at the time when the kohen actually processes it. So there you have the option to be mekadeshit al peh. The Balei HaTosafot ask about this. V'im tomar kinim gufayu minalan shlo kidesh goral. How do you know a goral doesn't work by kinim? So he says, eima kal v'chomer ipcho. Just learn it the other way. Yesh lomar de'iko shum miut. Again says, there must be some miut. He doesn't find out where the miut is, doesn't tell us why. Because it says, how do you know that the kinim only can use kiddush Hashem, meaning that through your articulation that you can make a kadosh, and not through a goral? That's an assumption of the Gemara. It never shows you why or tells you how that is. We know that it works to be mekadosh then, but how do you know goral doesn't work? It says there must be some mute out there that takes care of it. That's the second time we're going to see it one more time in the Balei Tosafot, that same type of idea. But here what you see is, by Yom HaKippurim, had it not been for the pasuk of Asau Chatat, we would have entertained the possibility of the goral working, or you calling it Seir Lashem, Korin Leila Seir Lazazel. Even though it says Chuka by Yom HaKippurim, you're willing to entertain a type of limud, not exactly a Kal V'chomer, but it's really a limud that says if it works here, it should work there as well. Over there, Tamil Omar, the pasuk says, Vasau Chatat. HaGoral Oseh Chatat, Vein Hashem Oseh Chatat. The goral is the only mechanism for creating the Kedusha, not the Shem. Tama Dichtav Rachmana. That's only because he had the pasuk, Vasau Chatat. Then we would have darish the kal v'chomer. So then you're saying to me that it says shachat and chuka by the paraduma is not enough to tell you that you can't do arifa by the paraduma. Learn it from the egla rufa. If shchita works over here, then certainly arifa should work over here. Where it says miyet rachmana gable egla. There's a miut, a specific miut that's written by egla rufa, which is ha arufa. Zok barifa vein acheret barifa. It's a miut to say that this is the only animal that you can use arifa for. There's no other animal that you can use arifa for. Gemara says, well, let's go the other way. Te'eglak shirab shchita. Fik mikav v'chomer. Why don't you just say the opposite? That when you have an eglah that is with arifah, if arifah works there, then maparash lo hukshra ba'arifah, paraduma, where you can't use arifah, ksherab shchita, you can't use shchita, eglah ksherab arifah, the eglah which has the option of an arifah, enudin shukshra b'shchita, certainly it should be kasher b'shchita. And as the Balei Tosafot point out over here, you don't have to learn this from Parah Aduma. You can learn this from any animal. Every animal requires shchita besides the Eglah Arufa. You can learn this from Chulin, Kodoshim, anything that requires shchita. Arifa doesn't work, shchita does work. So certainly by Eglah Arufa, shchita should work. The reason that the Gemara doesn't or the Mishnah doesn't do that is because Eglah Arufa and Parah Aduma are of a similar ilk. They are things that are processed b'chutz, outside the Mikdash, but have a certain level of kedusha associated with them, and certain rules that apply to both of them, which is you can't work with them, you can't put an ol on them, that there's a lot of commonality between them. That's why the Mishnah parallels or contrasts the two of them, because of that commonality between them. So the Baal Gemara says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Barfu ha'egla be'arifa in b'shchita lo. Meaning that the Torah there specifically twice, it uses the term arifa, to tell you that arifa is the only mechanism for doing this, shchita doesn't work. So you have here a possibility that you would have extended arifa to other the paraduma, or the shchita the paraduma to the eglah arufa. In both cases, we have miutim by the eglah arufa that said this is the only thing that gets arifa, and this is the only way to do it by the eglah arufa. Now Tosafot asks over here a question as to why is this the way the Gemara does it? Vim tomar male eglah shekeno amitaheret v'kama chumrot yesh bazeh ma shein bazeh. Says, how can you learn from Parah Aduma to Eglah Arufa? As much as they are similar, they are different. Meaning that there's nuances in each one of them. For instance, the Parah Aduma is called a Chatat. The Eglah Arufa has to be done by a Nachalei Tan. There are differences between them that would make it that impossible to learn a Kal V'chomer from them. Says, Yesh Lomar, Dolovi Kal V'chomer Mikoach Eglah Uparah, Mikoach Shchita Barifa. He says that the Kal V'chomer is not driven by the Eglah Arufa and the Parah, rather between the concept of shchita and the concept of arifa. And so therefore that's what they're trying to do. Arifa, in a similar nature to milika, is a form of shchita or type of shchita. And therefore they're trying to see whether you can move arifa and shchita. You can move between them, not because it's eglah or para. So then it's a more core issue, and then it's a real kal v'chomer from arifa to shchita or shchita to arifa. And then that's why Tosafot now asks, we have a principle that's brought up in the Gemara in Zvachim, which is if you have two options. You have here Eglah Arufa, which is done through Arifa. You have Parah Aduma that's done through Shchita. Now I have the option of bringing one to the other. And you saw here the Gemara entertained both sides. Entertained bringing the Arifa to the Parah Aduma, and entertained bringing the Shchita to the Eglah Arufa. And both of them are equally plausible. Meaning that you could learn the Kal V'chomer in either direction. That's called the Kal V'chomer Shaveh, which is that there's both Limudim are fair and equal in nature. And if you have limudim that are fair and equal, the Gemara says you drop the limudim, and then you stick what's written in the psukim. You stick with what's there. Since neither limud is more compelling than the other limud, then we don't make either of the limudim, and then you say, Parah Aduma gets shchita, and Eglah Arufa gets arifa. So Tosafot says, I don't understand. Why isn't this subject to that same principle? You see the Gemara entertaining both sides. They should wipe each other out, and then basically leave them with whatever they need. Why do you need a miut in the psukim to teach you that? So he says, Mitzarech Lomar, one of these two was a better Kal V'chomer, and therefore they're no longer Shavim. And since then you need a pasuk to eliminate that Kal V'chomer. Once you have that miut, then you would think to do the Kal V'chomer in the other direction, and that's why you need miutim on both sides. Tosafot does it again. It's the third time in the daf today. He says there must be some miut. There must be some chomer or kula that we don't know about. That makes it lopsided here. We look at it as being equal in the Gemara, but the Gemara really thought if one of them was a better Kal V'chomer than the other, and therefore it's not subject to this din of equal Kal V'chomers that drop away, and then you keep the Ikar din. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph.